Welcome to That Time We Started an Anime Podcast. Here are your hosts, Josh Keck, Adam Hart, and Danny Steinbreaker. Where has all the time gone? Can someone tell me I'm listening at all our life long?
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the pod. We are trying something new, and this will be our first time trying this out. It is April 27th, 2024, and we would have Danny with us, but he's exhausted, so we'll catch him on the next one. But Adam is with us. And so what we're trying is, at the end of every month, we'll talk about anime news. Basically, any news that has happened, for instance, in the month of April, and just kind of talk about it. We've actually had one idea of actually maybe doing a little breaking, you know, news segments with the other episodes. But I thought, unless it's like something that like really needs to be like out there on whatever the next episode is, that may possibly happen. But no, this is just more of, you know, sit back and just discuss things that's been newsworthy within the month. So again, this will be our first one. The end of May will be our next one. So basically, beginning the 1st of May, the three of us will be collecting like articles, reading them, and just kind of getting a sense of, you know, what's going on in the anime world. And so, personally, though, we'll go ahead and just start this out. Adam and I, not together, but Adam and I both were able to see the Spy X Family Code White. And I honestly thought it was very good. And maybe when it goes on to streaming platforms, possibly Crunchyroll, we'll definitely actually sit down and really talk about it. But honestly, like I said, I thought it was very good. If you haven't seen this, I would say if you haven't seen this yet, or will be seeing this, since this will be dropped on a Monday, the 29th of April, 2024, should still be in theaters. Because I believe it just dropped in theaters April 19th, am I correct, Adam?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. But yeah, no, definitely go see it when you get the chance, if it's still in theaters. And for sure, definitely wait. Do not leave until after all the credits, because I will say that there is something at the end. I've learned that, you know, there's sometimes it's just a good reason why you want to wait, especially with like the Marvel movies. I know Fast and Furious had a couple of those ones where if you actually wait, you get like a little Easter egg or a teaser or something like that. Or it just could be something funny from a situation in, you know, whatever movie you're watching. It doesn't mean there's going to be another one, but it's just something that maybe they figured they would reward those who actually stay for the credit. So you will definitely be rewarded for the Spy X Family movie. Adam, what did you think of it?
I thought it was a pretty all right movie.
Yeah, and now we don't have to get too much into it because I really want to really wait until we actually get a chance to watch it on stream and for Danny to be able to watch it and the three of us can actually sit down and discuss it. But without really giving anything away, you did say that there was a scene that you weren't too fond of.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, the movie was pretty good. I just thought that there's one particular scene that probably wasn't necessary for the whole entire thing of it.
Let's give them a hint. We'll just say poop god.
I'm not going.
But
right, the whole poop god scene was not necessary in the whole thing.
I thought it was funny.
I thought it was unnecessary.
I also thought that it was understandable because of something that she inadvertently did until later on in the movie when they realized basically, oh crap. And she is a kid and that was her imagination. So, but we'll leave it there. Like I said, I recommend it. So definitely, if you have not had a chance to see it, go see it. So I kind of want to get into something that I thought was kind of interesting. Now, I believe this is in Japan. And why? I'm sorry, I've got my articles up, but they're kind of going, here it is, found it. So basically on CBR, and I will make sure that I have all the links below. This one was published by Timothy Donahue, and that was published April 10th, 2024. Evangelion and Toyota crossover for a Cruel Angel Prius. Basically, they're going to be collabing. It's going to be like an anime-themed Prius. And it's called the Nerve House with the latest Evangelion merchandise. So, I'm looking at a picture and it's the Toyota badge. And if you guys ever watched Evangelion, you know how they have the little hexagon nerve thing? Well, it's basically that with that background, which pretty cool. But the way this actually kind of reads, it almost feels like they're just going to take a Toyota and like do like a wrap or stuff like that. But I don't know. I guess the backing sheet is like $17 US. Is it Nerve? Yeah, so it's pretty interesting.
Well, Josh, let's move on to something that, like, I know we're doing a lot of anime news, and we're doing this month at the end of each month, and you know what? What just recently happened, like, it's been about 3 weeks or so, so now we're starting to get, like, the new springtime animes, and starting to go through the rule of three, and some of the ones, we have some returning for this year, for this particular season. One of our favorite ones, That Time I Got Reincarnated Slime, has came back for another season, so we get that back, and I have to apologize to Danny when I said that Shuna was much more terrifying than Diablo. And then I saw exactly what Diablo did. Man, that was terrifying. Just the brutality that he showed against the king and the other two characters. Also, something that's been going on for a while that we've had news on, like, you and I both have been fans of the Power Rangers, and I've watched Love at the End of World Domination, and now for a while they were talking about this one new show that flipped the script on sort of the Power Rangers dynamic, this Super Sentai thing. And what we have now, what was called Go-Go Loser Ranger, which is basically taking from the premise that they were saying that, like, oh, the Sentai team, like 100 years ago, finally beat all the bosses of the invading force, and now it's just a treaty between just the grunts. And every single Sunday, they have this battle that is rigged. And the monsters always lose this fight, and the Rangers always win because, well, that's the way the treaty was. And so I've been watching it. The first three episodes that they've released of this one anime, I find it pretty good. The premise of it's like, because now one of the monsters is finally like tired of it, and he's sort of trying to bring down the Rangers from the inside, just because how corrupt the Rangers have been. Even though like everybody sees them like, oh, our heroes, but the Rangers that they have now are just so corrupt that it's like, oh, we have all this power and you are powerless. So finally, it's like one of the monsters finally is finally fed up. And I think this one's pretty good. Another one that came back for the back half of the second season is Jobless Reincarnation that I've been watching. And the latest episode that I just watched, it's like they're reintroducing like one of my favorite characters back into it, which is the demon that they helped in the first season.
Okay.
So I haven't really touched up much about the other newer ones, I think the three so far, and then we have Moonlight Fantasy is sticking around for a whole whopping, I think, 24 episodes. We were expecting it maybe only 12, but we're getting an extended second season on that one, which is kind of cool. Is there any new ones that you're watching right now?
Well, not anime related, but I did pick back up on the Twin Peaks, The Return. I kind of took a break from watching it because it's such a weird show. Anime-wise, though, I've been watching Space Battleship Yamato, and I'm on the second season, and it's been very good so far. However, I just learned that they're making a return, and it's going to be called Be Forever Yamato Rebel 3199. And it's, I don't see when it's supposed to come out.
You know, I will tell you the truth. I've been a little slacking on watching the anime and stuff. I've been binge watching and finally caught up to The Rookie, which is a great like cop drama.
Oh, it should be coming out later this year.
But something I really want to touch on, that another show that I've been watching that I think you guys should get a chance. It's a mini series. It's only 10 episodes long. Each episode is an hour long. And I think I've mentioned to Josh, maybe I've mentioned this to him before, but like, I remember back in high school, my senior year, I read a book by James Clavell called Shogun. And Shogun was released in 1975. 5 years later, in 1980, they released a five-night event of the miniseries Shogun. Each episode, there's five parts. Each episode is 2 hours and 12 minutes long, give or take. But they recently redid it. And the first one, the 80s one, had Toshio Mifune in it, had Richard Chamberlain, I think that's how you pronounce, but the newer one, like the only actor that I can actually point out that I know, which plays Torinaga. Have you seen any of the, I guess he's in John Wick, he's a character in John Wick, but also he's been in, he was one of the samurai in The Last Samurai, which I think he did a really good job.
Yeah, and I haven't really been watching though.
You should. It's on FX, but if you have Hulu, you can watch, you can stream and probably knock out the whole entire series in like a day. It would take you like 10 hours, but I watched it like as each episode dropped, and like I like how they did it. Honestly, it's just I think I prefer. The 80s version a little bit more, just because the just the way the costumes were in the 80s with the newer one, it's a bit more grittier, a little more realism, but there's something about like miniseries that were based on books that came out of the 80s that they a certain 80s style to it that just plus the way Toshio Mifune plays Shogun back in the 1980s was he definitely could bring seriousness to the character when needed, but also he was able to bring a little more humor into the role, which Toshio Mifune was really good at being able to play that kind of role.
Speaking of, you know, streaming and everything else, Crunchyroll just released, or is fixing to release later this month, if it hasn't already, you can have profiles. So that
Yes, finally.
Yeah, so
I think you brought this up earlier this month. That finally Crunchyroll is allowed to have profiles with I think one of the episodes that we actually covered, like, and has been out, like, I was so mad at like my son because he was watching all this stuff under my profile and I couldn't separate it, but finally now he can watch whatever he wants on his thing, and it won't affect my history at all.
No, and that's a good thing. I mean, especially, you know, if you have kids or if you're married or you're a couple or whatever, or if you have roommates or something like that, and you guys are sharing one, you know, stream service, but have the profiles. That is a good thing. I do like that. The other thing too, speaking of streaming with and let me bring this up here. So with Funimation, you know, officially shut down now, there's like over 190 anime titles left without a platform. So I'm wondering how that's going to work. I know that
I thought with the, I know we covered this about 2 years ago, but I thought a lot of the Funimation library was moving over to Crunchyroll, so they didn't. Not all of them converted over to.
So apparently not all of them are, you know, that haven't been brought over yet. Some of them has, but not all of it. And like I said, I'll make sure I have the article linked down below so y'all can read it. And then the one thing too. I was actually wondering what you think of them doing a One Punch Man live action. And I'm asking this because I came across an article from Screen Rant, and the title is One Upcoming Live Action Anime Adaptation Risks Being Worse Than Dragon Ball Evolution. And there's been talks that there's going to be a One Punch Man, you know, live action adaptation. And the one thing that in this article, you know, basically saying that One Punch Man has a very specific tonal balance. And
right.
Yeah, that needs to be replicated. For the adaptation to be successful. And so I'm wondering how, you know, they'll be able to basically adapt it, whether it be just the, you know, the heroes in the way they act or the villains and stuff like that. So we'll have to see. I mean, it does look interesting.
The fact that I've seen the live action Dragon Ball movie, Dragon Ball Evolution. When I know nothing about like Dragon Ball, and I think it's a bad movie. I know a little bit more now, but I know the first attempt to do it was bad, and now you're saying another live action anime adaptation is going to be worse than the Dragon Ball one. Ooh, I wonder if they have the time to course correct and get the tone of One Punch Man like in the actual film.
Well, we'll see. I mean, lately we've actually been having, you know, a couple good live action remakes, but adaptations, whether it's a movie or a series. But thankfully, the last couple were pretty good. I'll at least say that.
The fact that when it came to the live action of Avatar: The Last Airbender, which if you haven't gotten the chance to listen to the episode, go back and listen to that episode that we dropped about Avatar: The Last Airbender. They had the ability to do it over 8 episodes. Each one of them was an hour long, so they were able to capture a lot better than the movie that we don't talk about. It's like with the movies we don't talk about on Percy Jackson. The series for Percy Jackson that's on Disney Plus did a lot better because you had the opportunity to actually like expand and actually give each like important part of that part room to breathe and explore. They did change a few things in the Percy Jackson adaptation. They did change a few things in the Avatar adaptation, but overall, they were changes, I think, that were good changes. But again, live action, when it comes to certain series, is very touchy.
So I've got another article here from Kotaku.com by Levi Winslow. This was, well, it was published in March, but I still wanted to bring it up as a published March 29th. And I didn't know this, but I still wanted to bring this up. Isekai, and I think there's also another one, Kintsugi, Kintsugi, which is the art of repairing broken pottery with the lacquer that highlights the flaws. And then there's another one. There's a couple other words too on here, but Isekai is being, you know, added to the Oxford Dictionary, which I think is pretty cool.
Yes.
It's Kintsugi.
Oh, okay. So it went from the Japanese dictionary to the English dictionary. Okay.
Basically.
Whatever.
Yeah. So I thought that was pretty cool, you know, to hear. And I don't know. I just think it's just real cool that they did that. Now, do we? Oh, we didn't. I don't think we brought this up yet, have we? So this is
what?
From CBR.com. Anime North Korea believed to have violated U.S. sanctions on upcoming Isekai series. And basically, there was a leak on a cloud server that revealed that North Korean anime studios may have worked on an upcoming summer 2024 anime despite sanctions. Now a lot of animated stuff can be done in-house here in the U.S., but
a lot of it is
normally outsourced. And normally to like China or Taiwan or South Korea or
South
Japan.
Korea, yeah.
I know that
when they were doing the animating for Avatar: The Last Airbender animated series, a lot of it was outsourced to South Korea because it's a lot cheaper to animate when it's from different countries.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so basically that's definitely happening. So I don't know if, you know, if that's the case, will we be able to see it? You know, because if it was done under sanctions, then we'll have to see. Because, you know, they're commonly, the enemies are basically outsourced because of the lower labor cost. If I'm not mistaken, I think even a lot of the Simpsons episodes were either they're drawn and I think they're animated in South Korea, or I think it was Taiwan or somewhere.
I think I was watching a YouTube short not too long ago, and one of the more depressing intros to Simpsons was touching the fact they do outsource some of their animation to South Korea, and I think they were doing something like a South Korean sweatshop or something like that.
I saw that. They did that more as a joke, though.
Oh, I know. But still, some of the Simpsons, like you said, some of the Simpsons episodes are withdrawn, are outsourced to other companies.
No, if I can find the article, I'll make sure I list it as well. But I did see, I think, a couple of the Marvel animated series. I think a recent one that has already dropped or will be dropping was supposedly accidentally animated in North Korea. So we'll have to see. This will be kind of interesting because, you know, if it's under a U.S. sanction, again, would we be able to see it or not? And I believe the anime is a Dahlia in Bloom. Let's see. This is despite sanctions currently being absurd, forbidding businesses from working with state-owned North Korea companies. Basically, so I'm wondering if we may be able to see it. Because there's also another one that they're saying, which is Invisible Season 3. Iru Child of Wonder, something like that. So, I don't know. We might not be able to see it, or we might. We'll see. We'll have to keep an eye on it. So,
yeah, definitely.
But I don't know. I think, and we've mentioned Rooster Teeth before.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, unfortunately, you know, they're saying their goodbyes. And actually, as of the article that I have in front of me, it looks like their last stream was on April 26th, so that's already been passed and gone. But, but I guess they still have a few things for, I guess, Red versus Blue, and I guess that final season is still going to be released digitally for that.
Well, that's good.
As far as like Ruby goes, I know that they did do that crossover with WB, so I'm hoping we at least get another season out of Ruby. I'm hoping.
Well, yeah, volume 10.
I'm hoping we'll at least get that. But that is kind of sad to see something like that that's been around for so long. I mean, I recently discovered them when you and Danny's mentioned it to me. So that was only, what, about sometime last year. So, oh well. Well, you know, all things good must come to an end, right?
Yeah, true. Unfortunately. I mean, we were expecting eventually, like, Ruby to have a conclusion, but it did leave us at a cliffhanger at the end of, because I think I don't know if it was earlier this month, but I did send you guys through the server, like, deleted or a bonus scene that was drawn up for like something that was going to happen. It was supposed to be like at the end of volume 9, but there's a good possibility that it might be linked into somewhere into volume 10 if and when we do get it. And it's like it's showing a little bit of Team Coffee and a little bit of what's remaining of Team Juniper. And it's like during, it takes place like kind of during the fact that like 7 months after the events of Volume 9 or whatever.
Right. Well, we'll see.
I watched about half of it. But yeah, it was quite interesting to see it. Like, and it's not fully animated. It just like kind of the style of like kind of storyboarding.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think even then, that's kind of interesting because I do like seeing that kind of stuff, especially like when they do behind the scenes stuff with, you know, anything that's animated. They sometimes, you know, include that little storyboard, you know, for something that maybe was like a scene that they wanted to do, but they decided not. But they went ahead and just kind of played it out anyways with the storyboarding. So, yeah, that's always cool. But I don't know. As far as news goes, I think that's pretty much all that, you know, I can muster up for this month. Hopefully, our next little news episode will be a little bit smoother.
Yeah.
Again, this is our first time doing this, and we were hoping to have Danny, but, you know, we'll definitely make sure he's on next time. I know, again, as of recording, Danny and I have some recording to do tomorrow, so, you know, definitely look forward to new episodes. I think this will probably, I think these are more, you know, close to IRL as far as like time-wise go. So that way, you know, we can also give you, you know, just sneak peeks of what we're going to be doing, you know, later on or what we may have. I don't know. We'll figure this whole news thing out, but, we just wanted to share, some of the stuff that we saw. And if you guys have any news articles that, that you think we would be interested in, definitely, get a hold of us on the free Discord, get a hold of us through our, Facebook Messenger, email us, or leave, you know, a comment on our Facebook page, you know, like, rate, you know, the more, you know, tell your friends about the podcast, you know, the more the better. But I think with that,
right.
Is there anything quickly that you want to add, before we sign off?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, in that case, from a very windy and pretty warm Indiana, later.
From Arizona, Johnny.
This podcast was founded by Joshua Keck and Adam Hart. Produced by Joshua Keck, Adam Hart, and Danny Steinbrecher. Edited by Joshua Keck. Music by Ari Epstein. Artwork by Kayla McClure. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/thattimewestartedananimepodcast. On Discord at thattimewestartedananimepodcast. And on Patreon at patreon.com/thattimewestartedananimepodcast.